You know, it's been really interesting the last couple of weeks, just the people that I've come across, I guess especially with summer coming to an end and everybody trying to figure out how they're going to manage their busy schedules again as you get back into your schedules and your routines. It's just been interesting the people that I've met and come across already who say that I'm just trying to find some balance in my life. I'm just trying to not be quite as busy and to get into some kind of schedule and routine where I know what's coming and I know what I'm going to do. And I'm right there with you. I'm asking all the same questions that you're asking. I'm asking questions, you know, how do you find balance between your home and your work? How do you find balance between spending time with your husband or with your wife and spending time with your children? And then you've got your recreation, media, internet, phone, computer, Netflix, cable time that you've got to weave in there somehow as well. And how do you find balance in getting all those things in? And then on top of all that, how do you find time to make sure that you're helping other people, that you're contributing into other people's lives, that you're not just so focused on yourself? How do you do that? How do you make sure you're finding time to serve versus managing yourself and trying not to be too busy? Those are questions that I'm asking. I'm sure those are questions you probably asked yourself too. In fact, it seems like busy has become the theme in our life. As a matter of fact, when I talk to people and ask people, hey, how are you doing? And sometimes I'm even leery to ask people how they're doing because, believe me, if you've ever asked someone how they're doing, if you're not prepared to stand around and listen, then don't ask, okay? But a lot of times when I ask people, hey, how are you doing? The answer that I get the most is busy. Oh, I'm just busy. I've been so busy lately. It's been crazy busy in my life. You see, how busy you are doesn't really tell me how you're doing. We actually have bought into this belief that busy equals important. Like, if I'm busy, then I must be important. I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm doing a lot of good things. So I must be pretty important, right? At least to someone, I'm important. I just read this, I was looking up this article this past week. This is a magazine article from Fortune magazine, and it's just from this past May, so just a couple months ago. It said this, it says that on average, U.S. workers fail to use nearly 5 vacation days per year. 5 vacation days that you just don't use. Now listen, I'm not one of those people. I love to use my vacation time. Maybe you are one of those people who don't use your vacation time. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to talk to your supervisor. See if you can transfer those to me, okay? Because I will use them. I'm not going to let those go. But I was reading that. I couldn't believe that 5 vacation days a year, people just let go. It also said this. It said 41% of Americans don't take their paid time off. On those days, you are paying your employer to be at work. And why do we do this? I think the reason that a lot of this happens is because we have fallen into this mindset and we believe that when other people see our busyness, they're going to see that we're important. When other people see how busy we are, they're going to see that we're useful and that we're faithful and that we're needed and that the job can't get done without us. And so we've fallen into this trap that if we're busy, that we're important. But the truth is that when your life is over, that God is not going to ask you how busy you were. Because while we're running around trying to find balance in all of our busyness, God is more concerned about the person that we're becoming on the inside than he is with all the good things that we're doing. And I think that we feel so pressured to find balance in our lives because we're trying to balance too many things, right? I mean, there's just so many things. We're trying to balance them all and find the right time for everything. And I think a lot of times that we would say most of those things in our lives are good things. We know we need to get the big rocks in and settled in our life, right? We need to really set up what's important so that all the little rocks will fall into place too. But the problem that we have, honestly, I think, is that a lot of times the sand in our life looks like a good choice too, doesn't it? And we're trying to get all these things in because we're so busy, yet we're trying to find balance. But have you ever asked yourself, in the busyness of my life, am I really choosing the best things? Because really what it comes down to is that we're all trying to find balance because we don't want to waste time on things that don't matter. How many times have you felt like the things that you're doing just don't matter? They're just small things. They're just little things. It's like you look back on your day or on your week or on the past month or on the past year, and you look back and you're like, what did I do? Like, what was important? I feel like the things that I do are just small and that they don't matter and that they're just little grains of sand. There's a popular country song that's out right now. Now, I told my kids last night that I was going to quote a country song in church today, and they thought maybe that I was kind of cool, but trust me, I'm not cool. I've just heard the song, and I had to look up the lyrics on Wikipedia or something like that. But there's this song that's out. I've heard it. Maybe you've heard it. And this is the message that it has for us. It says, I don't want to steal your freedom. I don't want to change your mind. I don't have to make you love me. I just want to take your time. It says, I just want to take your time. The message that I have is, wait a minute. So this guy is saying that the only thing that he wants to take from us is our time. Like, I guess time is what you would give up before anything else, right? Like, time is the least valuable commodity you have. And out of all the things in life that you could give someone, time is what you'll miss the least. Is that right? Like, I don't know about you, but that, for me, the older I get, the only thing that I want to feel like I'm doing is not wasting time. Like, the only thing that I want to feel like I'm doing is not giving my time away for nothing. Actually, the only thing I want to feel like I'm doing is making an impact on my family, on my church family, and on the world by choosing to do the best things over the good things. Because I think, in the end, all we really want to do is to look back and feel like we were busy doing something that was best over something that was good. Because we only have so much time in the day, and a lot of times we have difficulty choosing. Now, I'm going to say something that may confuse you a little bit if you come from a traditional church background, like a lot of people do. But we've talked about this a little bit here at 1039 the past couple weeks. We've touched on this in the past. So don't be confused. Hang with me for just a minute, because I'm going to try to explain it a little bit. But here it is. At 1039, we are more concerned about the person that you're becoming than we are with what you can do for our church. You say, that sounds good. We're more concerned about your character and who you are than the talent that you have to offer us. You're like, oh, that's great. I finally have found a church where I can just come and sit on Sunday and learn and go home and not do anything and not get involved, right? No, that's not what we're saying. Please don't hear me say that. Please don't leave here today and say, everybody come to this church because you don't have to do any work there. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that we are more concerned with who you are and your character than what you can give to us, than what you can offer. And you want to know what that really means? Well, guess what? I don't know. Here I am up here today, giving you a message, trying to give you the answers. And I can't say that I can fully understand that or comprehend that. You see, the reason for that for me, I think, is because I've come from a traditional church background. Just show of hands if you grew up in church. How many of you grew up in church or in a church environment of some sort, okay? So look, the majority of us in here, if you look around, I came from a traditional church background. As a matter of fact, I spent most of my life in church, actually all my life, because when my mom was pregnant, she went to church. So I've been in church literally my entire life from conception, okay? I went to college, I went to seminary, worked in a master's program, trying to do all the stuff that you're supposed to do. For those of you that come from a church background, that have been in church your entire life, maybe you in your life, you've always tried to do the stuff that you're supposed to do. I spent 15 years working at three different churches, trying to do all the stuff that's expected, not just of a Christian, but as a pastor as well. I grew up as a pastor's kid for a lot of my life, and I thought that my Christian family and my church upbringing would make me immune from the really bad sins. I thought that if I'd been in church and I knew all the right things and I began following Jesus when I was 8 years old and got saved, I thought, well, this is it. You know, I'm pretty much good to go. And I thought, that's going to keep me protected from all the really bad sins. And then one day I realized they're really all bad sins in God's eyes. Like, it's not just the big ones, it's all of them. And we've all done them. And we've all struggled with that. And you know what I'm finding out? Is that after 40 years of first child, rule following, good kid, never got in trouble, never got a speeding ticket, he's going to do great things for God someday in life. You know what I'm finding out? I just can't do it. Like, it's just not in me, no matter what my background or past, no matter how I've been brought up. I just feel like I can't accomplish everything that I need to accomplish in order to look like what I'm supposed to look like. Honestly, I feel like I don't have the time to do all the stuff. A lot of times I feel like, half the time I feel like I don't have the energy to do all the stuff that I'm supposed to do, to look like what I'm supposed to look like, to portray who I'm supposed to be in my family and at my job and at church and in the rest of the world as a Christian and as a follower of Jesus. So when I stand up here and say that we're more concerned about who you are than what you can do, I guess I don't really understand how a church could be more concerned about that, because that's not the typical church model. For most churches, it's come to our church, it's great, we're awesome, we're so glad that you're here. What can you do for us? How are you gifted? How are you given abilities by God? What can you do? What can you give us? What can you offer us? I'm not sure how a church family would be more interested in you knowing God intimately than in doing all the church stuff. I'm not completely sure what that looks like and what it looks like for us to focus on someone's character rather than on their ability. But I do know this, is that you will never be able to do so much good in your life that it will replace the best that God has for you. And I've learned that through personal experience. I'm learning that. I feel, when we talk about being busy, like the past month for me, I feel like I've been living this for the past month. And so today I said we were going to get to Luke chapter 10. I want us to read this short story. It kind of sums all this up and explains the importance of why we need to choose what's best over what's good. And I do want to tell you this today before we read this, that today is not necessarily about right and wrong, okay? Today is not a condemn you, bring you down, make you feel bad about your life. Today is not to put you down for your busyness. Today is simply a reminder of what can happen when we constantly choose the good over the best. So you've probably heard this story before. Let's look at this. It's Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, the end of the chapter. It says, Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, you've probably, again, if you're from a church background, you've probably heard this story, and you've probably heard it explained that Martha was serving and that she was wrong and that Mary was learning and that she was right. But the story isn't so much about how Martha or how Mary was better than Martha and how we should all be more like Mary because she did the right thing. This story is more about how Martha doing the good things kept her from doing the best thing. And I think that relates to each and every one of us in here today. And this is, I want you to understand that while you can be involved in doing a lot of things, a lot of good things, that you will enjoy God the most when you choose what's best. You will enjoy God the most when you choose what's best. Two ladies here. Let's look at each of them. Again, verse 38. Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. In the first verse here, it says that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. This is the typical hostess, you know. She was getting the house ready, getting ready for company. And in that day and time, when you had guests in your home, a lot of times people would come over and it involved two things. It involved washing their feet and it involved providing a meal for them. Now, I was thinking about this week. And I thought, you know, Trish and I, we love to have people come over to our house. But I'll be honest with you, when you come through our door, you're only getting one of the two. And clean feet isn't one of them, okay? So we're happy to feed you, but we don't necessarily follow this tradition here. So she's busy. She's running around. She's sweeping, and she is, dusting, and she probably had a home with a dirt floor. So you can only imagine sweeping in a home with a dirt floor. You think your house never gets clean? Yeah, this would be an unending task, I would think. She's getting ready for Jesus to come, and she's excited. She's focused on serving. She wants everything to be just right. I was thinking about this. Have you ever had company over? And maybe you're this kind of a person where the people come over and at the end of the night, before they've even left, the kitchen is clean and the dishes are done and everything's straightened up and everything's put away like it was before and all the food is in containers back in the refrigerator. And by the time they leave, you kind of realize you didn't really get to visit or talk with them at all. Like, some of you might be like that, or some of you might be on the other end of the spectrum where you've gone to someone's house and the people's house you were visiting, like, they couldn't sit still long enough for you to have a conversation. You'd be talking to them, and then they'd be up doing something, and then they'd come back, and then they'd be up and go do something else and come back, and then you just kind of look at your husband or wife, and you start talking with them, right? Maybe you've been on either end of that. And so here we have Martha. She's busy. She's busy being the hostess with the mostest. I mean, she's getting it all done. And I think that she really wanted to honor Jesus when she began doing what she was doing. Like, a lot of times, again, we've heard this story, and we've heard how Martha was making the wrong choice, and she was doing the wrong thing, and she should have been in here with Jesus. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that when she started her work, that her attitude was right, because she was excited that Jesus was there. But in verse 39, it says that Mary sat down with Jesus. She began to listen to what he was teaching. She didn't want to miss a word of what he was saying, so she just kind of plopped down right in front of him. I just have this picture that she got as close to him as she could get. And she sat down right at his feet. She just listened to what he had to say. And again, I think that Martha and Mary were both excited to see Jesus. They were both glad that he was there, but their minds were focused on two completely different things. You see, it wasn't that what Martha did was wrong, because the stuff that she was doing was good. Like, the stuff that she was doing, it needed to get done. And again, some of you are like that. The stuff you're doing is good, and it needs to get done. But somewhere in the middle of her busyness, her attitude began to change. And her work became more important than who she was becoming on the inside and her character. So here's a warning for us. Here's a reminder for us today. When we get too busy with the good things, instead of focused on what's best, we start to become someone we never intended to be. Like, when we're so focused on good things and we never get to do what's best, that we can actually change. We can become different people. We can actually become someone that we never intended to be from the beginning. First thing is, we become distracted. Look at the beginning of verse 40. It says that Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. Now, I'm not going to ask her a show of hands. A lot of us wouldn't say that we're categorized as distracted, but I would say that almost all of us have been there more often than we care to admit, right? Like, we've all been there. It seems like distracted is, for me, when I think about it, it's like distracted is when we're always focused on the next thing. It's like when you're distracted, you're never completely in the situation where you are. You're always focused on what's next. Like, I can't tell you how many times I'm somewhere in a situation and my mind is everywhere but right there where it needs to be. A lot of times it seems like when I'm at home, I'm thinking about some things that I'm going to have to do at work the next day, and then I get to work and I'm thinking about for 10:39, I need to get ready for small group this week, and I need to get this printed out, I need to get this emailed, and that's while I'm at work. And then a lot of times when I'm at church, you know, you're sitting in church, and all of a sudden, oh, I got that thing at home that I've got to get done, and it's like, I feel like I'm distracted. And I know a lot of you feel like you've been there as well. We feel distracted. We feel like we're never completely present in the situation that we're in. And I've met other distracted people too. A lot of times those people are the ones who are getting things done, and they're checking things off their list, right? Maybe you're a list checker. I know that's what I am. I love to make a list, and I love to scratch things off the list. I like to feel like I'm getting things done. But a lot of times when that happens, you get too busy to develop relationships. You're too busy to develop a meaningful relationship with God. A lot of times you're too busy to actually develop a meaningful relationship with other people too. It's like it never goes beyond the surface any deeper than that. Now again, hear me this morning. I am not saying do not use your talents, abilities, and gifts to serve. If I say that to you this morning, this will be my last Sunday here. All right? We've talked from day one. If you've been here with us for several years or even in the last year, we've talked about how God has given each of us talents and abilities and gifts. We've been tagged, and he wants us to use those for him. And I'm not standing here contradicting everything we've ever said. Let's look at the body of evidence, okay? I'm not saying don't use those for God, but I want you to hear this. The tragedy of a busy life is having the opportunity to hear from God, but instead we're pulled away by all the good things that we think will make God love us more. Like that's a tragedy. When we have the opportunity to hear from God, and let's face it, here in America, we have a lot of that. When we have the opportunity to hear from God, and yet we're pulled away by all the things that we're doing that we think if we do these things, God is going to love us more. Like our attitudes are so performance-based. And again, especially like even me growing up in church, we think that if we can just do more things for God, that God will be happier with us and more pleased with us. And if we're doing all these service things and we're helping other people and we even deny ourselves once in a while, that's going to make God happy and that's going to make God love us even more. And that's the attitude we take. I mean, let's think about it. How many people sit in church buildings every Sunday in the presence of the Lord with the opportunity to hear from God, but their minds are so distracted that they never hear anything that he has to say to them? I think you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's even happening right now. Don't raise your hand. Although if it were happening right now, you wouldn't have heard what I said, so you wouldn't be able to raise your hand. But you think you're sitting there, you're listening to the message, and then from out of nowhere, something pops in your mind, right? It's happened to me. It's happened to all of us. It happens to me almost every week, probably. You're sitting there, and all of a sudden, in your head, you're like, oh, I've got this this thing that it worked that I didn't finish on Friday. I'm going to have to do that tomorrow. Or maybe you've got, oh, I've got that paper at home. I haven't filled it out yet. I'm going to have to finish filling that out this afternoon. I kind of wish I'd brought it to church with me. I could fill it out during the sermon. Or maybe I've got that chapter. I still got to read that one chapter for school. I've got to get that done. And our minds are just distracted. They're just everywhere. And we're never present in the situation where we are. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that the presence of God made you forget about everything else around you? When was the last time that the presence of God made you forget about the ball game? Or made you forget about checking your email? Or made you forget about your bank account? When's the last time God's presence just made you forget everything around you and you were focused on him? How often do you get distracted from the main thing? How often do we get distracted from the main thing? How often are we pulled away from Jesus? And how often are we driven by those urgent things instead of the important things, instead of the best things? Martha was distracted. Literally, when it says she was distracted, it means she was pulled away. Like the weight of her work was pulling her away from the one person that she needed the most. Boy, I felt pulled away. I mean, I know the relationship that I need to have with the Lord, and I feel pulled away all the time. And that's distraction. It's being pulled away from what we need the most. And I think sometimes we get so distracted preparing for the main thing that we miss the main thing altogether. I think about being a church where we don't have our own building, and so each Sunday we have to come in and we have teams who set up and who do this and that, and we're preparing and we're setting up and we're making sure everything's just right and we get everything in place. And again, those are good things. Am I saying not to do that? No, because we need you. We need those people who are going to set up an environment where we can come and worship the Lord. But I sometimes wonder if we get so busy practicing and preparing and setting up and getting ready for the main thing that the main thing comes and goes and we miss it altogether. I think that happens more often than we want to admit. Unfortunately for us, we're not good at saying no. I try to say no to some things, but we're not that good at saying no sometimes. And then when we're finally able to say no, it seems like we'll say no to the best things in order to hold on to those good things. And what we think is important, a lot of times God considers a distraction. Although we don't want to admit we're distracted, I think that our busyness can start to change us into somebody that we never intended to be. And then when we're distracted, distraction can lead us into anger. Now, I know probably not many of you have ever been angry, so I might just be talking to myself here. I get that. But our world is full of distractions. Sometimes the more good things we're busy with, the more we tend to look at other people who aren't as busy as we are, and we start to get mad at them because they're not doing what we think they should be doing, right? Like, here we are, we're getting all these things done, and here's this guy over here who doesn't seem like he's doing anything. We start to get mad at him. And then all the good things that we're doing, those good things start to eclipse the best things. We forget the very reason we're doing it. And it's not so much that we wish that everyone was more like us. It's just that I think sometimes we're envious of people who are less busy than we are. I think that we look at them, and instead of asking ourselves, why am I so busy? We look at those other people, and we ask, well, why doesn't everybody else get busy doing their part? And we tend to turn that from ourselves onto others. And then we hit that point that we all like to call burnout, right? We hit burnout. Oh, I'm just burned out. I just can't do it anymore. And we feel like when we do that, that just proves how busy we are for God. Like, God, I've been doing all this stuff for you, and I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to step back from doing what you've called me to do because I'm burned out. You know what burnout is? Burnout, I've learned, is when we try to do everything in our power instead of through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's when we get burned out. I've been burned out, and the reason I'm burned out is because I'm trying to do it all on my own. Because I'm a planner, I'm a type A, I'm a list maker. I'm trying to do all these things and be busy and get them done and check them off and cross them off. And you get burned out because you're trying to do everything in your own power and you just can't do it. And we burn out when we're in our power instead of in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then burnout leads to what I like to call burn up. What's burn up? Burn up is when we get burned up at everybody else because we're burned out. I mean, it's bad enough when you have a lot to do, but when you start looking at everybody else around you who's not doing their part and who isn't pulling their weight, you start to get burned up at them. You start to get mad at them. And so we start to get angry at other people. And sometimes we get mad at people not only for what they're not doing, but then we start to find fault with everything they are doing, right? Like, not only are you not doing the right things, the things you're doing are wrong. And that's the attitude we take with people a lot of times. In fact, I think in this story that we're reading here that Martha was probably getting a little burned up herself, getting a little steamed. She was probably banging the pots and pans in the kitchen when she was cooking. Maybe she was slamming the cabinet doors. Maybe she was walking through the living room, and every time she would see those people in there sitting and doing nothing, she'd walk by and let out a big sigh. Some of you, husbands or wives, you've heard the sigh before. I think that's maybe what she was doing. I mean, we all have our, our ways that we get our message across, right? Sometimes we just clear our throats to get our message across. Sometimes we make facial expressions. A lot of times you get your message across by giving the look. Guys, you've gotten the look, haven't you? You know what the look is, right? We get the message across. We get the message loud and clear sometimes when we get the look. Or sometimes we get our message across just by using incomplete thoughts and sentences. Like, ladies, ladies, you've heard us guys communicate everything that we know to say in one single breath, right? Like, you'll be talking to us, and you'll ask us something, and we'll be like, I guess so. Not sure. It's hard to tell. Yeah, we have different ways that we get our message across. In this story here, I think finally Martha decides she's going to get her message across the old-fashioned way. Because a lot of us are end around people. We try to do everything else to get our message across. But Martha here, she just decides she's going to come out and say it. Doesn't anybody here think that it's a little bit unfair that I'm over here playing Cinderella and Her Royal Highness is sitting over here on her duff not doing anything? I'm not sure that's exactly how it translates, but something to that effect. So when we're busy, we get distracted. And then we can begin to get angry at people. And I think this is something that troubles us all. We could begin to question whether or not God even cares about us. We start to wonder if God even cares. Look at the end of verse 40. As she's preparing here and she sees what's happening, she comes to Jesus. She says, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Like, a lot of times we feel like we've been doing all the right things and we've dedicated our lives to God and we've dedicated our lives to other people, and we start to feel like God owes us something back. God owes us. We've been faithful. We've done what we're supposed to do, and now God needs to come through on his end. And when it seems like we're busy doing things for everyone else, but we're not getting anything in return, we start to wonder if God even cares. Or does God even notice us? Or is God really good? Is he sitting up there in heaven and he doesn't even know us? There's no real personal relationship with God because he doesn't notice us and he doesn't care. And she asked God, doesn't it seem unfair that my sister just sits there? You know what she's saying? She's not just saying it's not fair. She's saying, Lord, don't you care? Like, Jesus, don't you care about me? You see, when it seems like life's not going our way, that's what we do. We look up. We look up at the ceiling. We say, God, don't you care? We say, don't you care about me? Why can't my spouse and I have a conversation, a simple conversation, without it breaking into an argument? Or why can't I go 1 week without having to fix something on my car? Why can't I go 1 week without having to fix something on my house? Why are my kids going against everything that they learned when they were younger? Why won't they listen? God, don't you care about me? And we begin to doubt. And then we start to accuse God, and then we start to question God's goodness. Why would God allow this to go on if he cared about me? God, after all the good things that I have done for you, if you're not going to take care of me now, then you're part of the problem. Because you're either for me or against me, God. You better choose sides. And I think we accuse God of not caring when he doesn't give us what we want when we want it. And I think it's interesting how we associate and how we base God's care for us by what he can do for us. Because when it seems like God's not going to come through for us, we decide that he doesn't care. And then when we've decided that he doesn't care, we decide that we're going to take charge and we're going to tell God what he's supposed to do. Martha decides, listen, Jesus isn't doing this for me. Listen, Jesus, you need to tell my sister. And that's what we do. When we've decided that God's not coming through and that God doesn't care, we decide that we're going to tell God what he should do and how he should act. Martha says, Jesus, you're going to have to choose sides. You're going to have to choose my side, or you're going to have to choose her side. And if you really care about me, you're going to pick my side. And that's the same thing that we do too. We say, God, after everything I've done for you, you had better be on my side. You had better come through for me. You had better show me that you're there and that you care and that you even notice me. And that's the attitude that we take. And I think it's interesting here that instead of taking sides, that Jesus answers her in a way that she didn't even expect. Look at the last two verses here. Verses 41 and 42 says, "The Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Jesus said, "Martha, you are worried and upset over all the details." I've been there. I've been worried and upset over all the details. I think the idea behind worry here is that she was being pulled apart. I mean, can you even count the number of times in your life that you have felt pulled apart and pulled in all these different directions because of all the details and because of how busy that you are? We get worried and we get upset because our focus is in the wrong place, because our focus is on the wrong things. But as Jesus pointed here, and he pointed to the best, I think it's what he didn't say that's almost important, as important as what he did say. Notice what he didn't say. Notice he didn't say, "Martha, you're bad and Mary's good." Notice that he didn't say, "Martha, you're wrong and Mary's right." He doesn't even tell her that she should be more like her sister Mary. I don't know if you ever had that when you were growing up, you were told to be more like your brother or be more like your sister. Or maybe you've done that as a parent to your kids. Don't do that. Don't tell your kids to be more like their brother or sister. Jesus didn't even tell her that. He didn't say, "You need to be more like Mary." He doesn't even condemn her for serving him. It's not like, "You're serving me and that's bad. Stop. Come, sit down, listen to me." Like, we need to serve. We're supposed to do that. Ephesians tells us that the very reason that we were saved is so that we could do good works for him. We're supposed to do those things. But what Jesus said was that one thing was good and one thing was best. You see, we can get busy doing a lot of good things. We can be busy showing God that we love him by the work that we're doing. But our busyness can cause distraction. And then when we're distracted, we can get angry at other people. And when we're angry, we start to question whether or not God even cares about us. And suddenly, our character and who we are on the inside starts to take a back seat to our busyness and to our activity and to all the things that we're doing. Martha came to Jesus because what she thought that she needed the most was for Jesus to make things easier for her. How many of us have done that? How many times do we go to Jesus and we pray, "God, this is hard. This is tough. I'm overworked here. I am burned out. Lord, I need you to make this easier." I feel like I pray that every day. That's not necessarily the answer. It's more of a "Lord, give me strength to get through." She thought that what she needed Jesus to do was to make things easier for her. But how often are we wrong about what we think we need the most? And Jesus gives us what we really need instead of what we think we need. Sometimes we think we know ourselves better than God does. We don't. And he'll give us what we really need instead of what we think we need. Jesus said, "You're busy with a lot of things, but you've forgotten the best thing." See, the best thing, I think we're so leery of this giving up the good for the best. We think the best thing means the only thing. Best doesn't mean only. It's not like there's only one. Best means first. You're not giving up all the good things. You're just focusing on what's best. Best means first, and then there's the good things after that. Everything that consumes you in your life can be taken away from you. Your health can be taken away. You can lose, I mean, your family can be taken from you. Your wealth and your possessions, your career, your job, you can lose it all. It can all be taken from you. Look at Job. Job lost everything, including his health. Everything that consumes your life can be taken away from you. But there is one thing that Jesus says that can't be taken from you, and that's knowing Jesus. And that is the best thing. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Another translation puts it this way: "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need." What is that verse saying? It's saying when we seek God first, when we seek the best thing, when we seek the first thing, which is knowing Jesus, that God will make everything else fall into place. See, if you look at your life right now and you think about all the good things you're doing and you walk out of here and you think, okay, I've got to prioritize. I've got 29,000 different things that I do every day. I got to figure out the top three. Like, you will never be able to do that. You cannot prioritize what you need to do. You can't prioritize even the good things that you need to do. But Matthew 6:33 tells us that if we will seek God first, if we will go after the best thing, which is the first thing, if we'll go after that first, I think that God will make everything else fall into place. Like, he'll order the priorities for you. He will take all the good things and he'll do that. He'll order them for you. So I guess for us this morning, when we get so busy with all the good we're doing and we get distracted and we get angry and we start to question whether or not God even cares about us, our good things, which again, Jesus didn't say were bad, he didn't say right and wrong, he said good and best, but our good things can become bad things when they keep us from what's best. When we constantly choose the good over the best, that's when it can become bad. I'm going to ask the worship team to start heading forward here. I want to read you this just in closing. And this is something I found by, his name was J. Vernon McGee. He was a pastor, a theologian. He was an author. He had a radio ministry for a while. Passed away 20 or 30 years ago. But J. Vernon McGee offers this advice. He says, "Are you at the corner of life where you don't know which way to turn? Then for goodness sake, sit down. Sit at Jesus' feet. Look in his word. See what he has to say. It will help you with your housework. It will make you a better dishwasher. It will help you sweep the floors cleaner. You will dig a better ditch. You will mow a better lawn, and you will study your lesson better. Your work at the office will be easier, and you'll be able to drive your car better. Just take time to sit at the feet of Jesus." Now, I realize that your days are busy. I realize that your schedules are busy. And I'm not saying that you need to give up your life and come and live in a Jesus commune. That would be hard to do because this isn't our building. But what I am saying is, what will it matter if you have your life ordered perfectly and you miss out on what you really need the most? What's it going to matter if one day you wake up and you look in the mirror and you don't recognize who you're looking at? What's it going to matter if one day you wake up and you look in the mirror and you've become somebody that you never intended to be? Because that's what happens to us. It slides and it slides and it slides. There's a song called Slow Fade. It's not all at once. It happens over time. And then one day we look and we think, I was serving God. I was doing good. But now I'm angry. Now I'm upset. Now I'm distracted. And I'll be honest, I don't know if God even cares. That's a place you don't want to get to. So let's learn this morning to choose the best over the good. Because when we learn to choose what's best, that's when we'll enjoy God the most. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for reminding us today that you know what's best for our lives. God, thank you that you're in charge and that you're in control and that nothing takes you by surprise. Thank you, God, that we're not in control. God, thank you for removing that stress from us. And I just pray, Father, that you would remind us today that our busyness can turn us into somebody that you haven't created us to be. God, I pray today that you would help us to serve, but but not to do it in our own power, God, but to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to commit all we are to you and to do everything we do for you. But God, help us to trust in your power to do it. Help us not to feel like we have to get everything done on our own and to feel like that your mission in this world is totally dependent on us, because it's not. God, we know that you can do whatever you want and that you'll get it done with or without us, that it's a privilege to join you in that mission. So Lord, help us to depend on you and to trust in you. And I pray today, Lord, that if we're distracted and that if we're angry and that if we're questioning your care, that you would just bring us back to you. Lord, help us to see you in a new light. Help us to experience you and experience your love in ways that we never have before. And God, just make our lives fresh and new. Especially this time of year, God, as we look at our schedules and we figure out how in the world am I going to get all this done. Father, help us to seek you first. Help us to seek the best among everything else, Lord. And we trust in you that you'll put everything in order in our lives for us. We pray this morning in Jesus' name.